Hey, this is Stephen Curry from the Golden State Warriors, number 30. And you listen to Drive Time Sports on KOAL 750 AM.
We're going to talk some more basketball here on Drive Time Sports today. Over the weekend, Olympic gold for Team USA, both the men and the women. Really, this was a storyline that kept me really interested in the Olympics. You know, we've been talking about it for the last couple of months. I think it's been a fun storyline, and now the team of 2024 can officially say they are gold medalists. They keep the tradition rolling. Women, too. They've done it 32 years now when you take into consideration 8 straight Olympics. It's very, very impressive. We're going to talk about all that more. Joining us right now over the phone, as he does every Monday, we have James Holis, our Drive Time Sports NBA analyst. James, gold medal, it's over, it's done with. Not without a couple of scares, but they figure out a way to get it done.
USA! USA! USA!
Yeah,
that's all we're going to say right now. These games we saw, the world is catching up, man. Like, it's not what it was even a decade ago, or you know, we know Team USA, especially the men's team, has had their bumps in the roads in the early 2000s and all that, but even earlier this decade. So the world's really catching up. I was a bit surprised. You know, America fielded probably their strongest team, you know, since the Dream Team, and we had some nail-biters. But all that matters is gold.
Yeah, I go back and I look at what they had to overcome, and first off, the game against Serbia. They were essentially dead in the water at one particular time in the second half of that game. I thought that was a really gritty effort, and I think that every Olympic team outside of the 92 squad and even the 96 squad, there was really no competition. You know, I try to go back and just look at a staple point for each team. Obviously, the Redeem Team is going to be Spain, right? I guess if you go back and you look at the Dream Team, we talk about the Kukoc game. This one in particular for me, it's Serbia. It's not even France. It's getting past Serbia in the fashion that they had to respond with in the second half to get that W. To me, that's kind of the signature game for this 2024 team.
I totally agree, man. Dead in the water, down what, 17? I want to say they were down 12 at one point in the fourth. Like, that was impressive, you know. And then there's nothing else you can say, man. Like, they really showed a lot of mettle. The great players played amazing. Sure, all the controversy about who didn't play and all that doesn't matter. Team USA brought home the gold, man, and they, you know, it's again though. The question rises: they smoked Serbia by, I think, what, 27 in the first two games each.
Yeah, yep.
You know? And then for it to come down like that, so very interesting case study. And I'm curious, you know, as time goes on, how we're going to view this team. But we're going to view them as gold medalists.
Oh, wait, here's the thing with Serbia. Anytime you are the top dog, right, Team USA being the top dog, every team in the world is gunning for this squad. You're not going to get their best shot in an exhibition. You're not going to get their best shot in group pairing unless it's an absolute must win. They are going to try to keep it as vanilla as possible. And I think if you go back and you look at the previous meetings with Serbia, that's exactly what happened. That was not the same team that we had seen previously.
Yeah, but again, when you are the top dog, like, you would think that you'd be better prepared, you know? Like,
well, I agree 100%.
I hate to hear the, oh, it's human nature. I hate that because, again, you're on the biggest stage, and you have the best players. Like, if that's not enough to get you ready to play, then I don't know what should be, right? So, hats off, they made a big comeback. It shouldn't have got there. It shouldn't have been there. So, but yeah, it doesn't matter. None of that really matters. Gold medalists, and yeah, Serbia, Joker is amazing. They play together. You can see that team has a lot more continuity than Team USA, but Team USA was just so talented.
If we go to the game against France, it's very simple. The best player in the world by the time the 2028 Olympics roll around is going to be Victor Wembanyama. We got to see that up close and personal in this game. He was absolutely incredible, and I think it's just a tidbit of what we're going to see in the future from this guy. If I assess this game, I don't know why Victor spent so much time on the bench in the second half, and I think that Team USA is very fortunate in that regard. For me, look, if I'm coaching France, I'm saying, look, Wemby, we got 20 minutes, man. 20 minutes of basketball, I need 20 minutes out of you. He actually had some downtime in the second half, and that's kind of when Team USA built their little niche and took it to France when Wemby was not on the floor.
For sure. And FIBA is a very different game than the NBA. We know that. But, yeah, we've seen some questionable coaching decisions and maybe roster management, so.
That's got to be one, right? Wemby would not have come out. He would not have come out of that game in the second half.
I agree. Yeah, and it's strange that it happens. You know, biggest stage, biggest everything, and that's what they do.
Let's take a look at how things are closed out. Steph Curry goes out on a complete and total rampage in the final two and a half, three minutes of this game. As far as the shooting display is concerned, it was absolutely incredible. France had momentum. The crowd was very loud. They cut it to a one-possession lead, and then Steph knocks down a three. They get the ball back. They eat the shot clock out. Steph straight away three. And then Steph, two hands in his face, doesn't matter, fading away, turnaround jumper, 30 feet, doesn't matter, boom, nails it. The shooting display from Steph Curry was so fitting. I think that every single team that we have had from 2008 on, they've all had a moment like this. If, you know, we've seen Kobe hush the crowd. We've seen Dwayne Wade put forth brilliant shooting performances to close out gold medal games. This was the staple of 2024. We're going to see those highlights of Steph Curry forever.
I mean, absolutely legendary performance by Steph Curry, the greatest shooter the game's ever seen. You can't even put into words, like, the fact that this was his first time on the big stage, the fact that coming into the Serbia game, he hadn't been great, you know, and then Serbia, he had that amazing first half and great game, and this is like a fitting, and this might be his only Olympics. So, fitting ending to it, those four straight shots, each one increasingly difficult, that last one over two defenders fading away, it's like textbook classic Steph Curry, biggest stage, the moment, the what they needed. Like, probably the defining moment of these Olympics, I think, as far as if you're a basketball fan. So, you can't say enough about the guy, man. I'm not the biggest Steph Curry fan. I'm not a big Steve Kerr fan. But, you know, in that moment, man, everyone was a Steph Curry fan.
Absolutely. That's the one thing that I love about the Olympics and in Team USA men's basketball, right? A lot of these guys on the team, if you're a fan of the game, you root against a lot of these guys on the team, if not every guy on this team, throughout the entire NBA season. But everybody was a Steph Curry fan this past Saturday when they won the gold. You mentioned Steve Kerr, and again, questionable coaching decisions. Yes, Steph Curry is going to be remembered for closing out this game and the incredible shooting display. Yes, LeBron James was absolutely incredible at times throughout this run. But there were a lot of minuscule or minor, I should say, roster changes or lineup changes that kind of propelled Team USA. And going back to the France game, once again, it was the limited minutes that we saw from Joel Embiid in the second half. Anthony Davis was a difference maker on both ends of the floor. A lot of things that maybe aren't going to get a lot of pub, but James, if you watch this game, Anthony Davis, which was huge for them in the second half.
Anthony Davis is another incredible story for this whole run, right? His defense was just phenomenal. I think he had one game where he wasn't really a factor, right? I think there was one game he played like only 4 minutes, but for the most part, his offense and defense, impeccable. His chemistry with LeBron was palpable. And yeah, so, you know, the end of it changes a little bit, but Embiid was largely ineffective for most of this run. We can always play Monday morning quarterback and wonder, you know, if Kerr does things a little different, are some of these games so close, right? But it doesn't really matter in the end. Anthony Davis is, I think it's his second or third gold medal?
Yeah, third, I believe. Yeah,
his resume is incredible. Just wonderful. Like, this is the last look for a lot of guys, and I'm curious to see how they look in 2028.
Yeah, then that's the next thing, right? Especially with it being in Los Angeles. Let's say LeBron James hangs it up two seasons. He retires as a Laker, plays this year, plays next season, calls it quits. He's played with his kid. His kid's, you know, he's got his contract with the Lakers, whatever. He hangs it up. Could you see LeBron James playing for Team USA in 2028 with his being in Los Angeles? Like, I think it's possible. I don't know if this is the last we've seen of LeBron.
I mean, it's possible. I don't know if it's probable, right? Because we're talking another 4 years. He'll be, what, 44 almost?
Yeah.
it's definitely possible. I think there's a Cuban wrestler who, you know, who just, like, won his, I want to say, fifth straight gold medal. He's in his mid-40s, right? So, I mean, LeBron is definitely an outlier in all forms. So it's possible, but it's not probable. And even if he does play, he's not going to have a Kevin Durant, most likely. He's not going to have a Steph Curry. So some of these young guys are going to have to step up and be ready. Some young NBA stars are going to have to step up and be ready to do the heavy lifting. So, LeBron, I couldn't imagine him doing what he did this year again in another 4 years at 44.
I can't either, but I couldn't imagine him doing it. If you go back to 2008, there's no way anyone could have predicted LeBron would be doing this in 2024. You know, they're making documentaries on the Redeem Team back in 2008, and LeBron is still the best player on Team USA in 2024. That's incredible.
Yeah, I mean, the guy is certainly one of one. You know, the debate will always rage, but his longevity and the consistency of his level of dominance definitely is a big green check mark on his resume when it comes to greatest of all time.
Looking back at the way this team did have its struggles at times but managed to overcome it, you said the rest of the world is catching up with us. I don't think this is anything new. We've known this now for the better part of a decade and a half. We've known that the world is catching up. Did you see anything outside of the brilliance of Wemby and looking at France, who I think is going to be very good for the next 4 to 8 years, the next two Olympic competitions? Did you see any other countries that kind of caught your eye and said, hey, be on the lookout for these guys come 2028?
I mean, look, South Sudan gave USA like probably their, you know, one of their toughest games. And a team that just basically relatively new. A lot of unknown players. Like, there's no NBA like headlining star. Like, the athleticism is there. The fire is there. The national pride is there. So I am going to keep my eye on them. That's going to be an amazing story going forward, I think. And again, just Joker is in his prime, and he's still going to be in his prime in 4 years. Like, you know, nearing maybe the end of his prime, but he's still going to be a formidable foe, and that team gave U.S. all they could handle. So, it's just and every year it's going to be another team, right? Another young superstar. Let's see what Luka can get done over the next few years, right? So it's just there's so much talent.
And don't forget Canada. Canada was really good. They were undefeated going up against France, who took Team USA down to the wire. Canada is right there as well.
Oh, yeah. We can't forget. You're absolutely right. I'm overlooking Canada because they are deep. They're great. A lot of young, very young players who in 4 years will be more seasoned. Obviously, they're going to be firing their belly for the way they lost. So they're going to be right there also, correct?
James, before I let you go, now we can kind of transition back to the NBA. The Olympics are over with. That storyline of kind of combining all 30 teams, taking the most elite talent in the league and combining into one, that storyline now kind of it trickles away, specifically here over the next few weeks. Since the Olympics were going on during that two-week span, one of the storylines that may have gotten buried a little bit was the Utah Jazz finally wrapping up Lauri Markkanen long-term-wise. You and I did not talk about this last week on the show. As I said, it was kind of buried. That may have been the most intriguing storyline left to be handled in the NBA offseason, and now there is finally an end game for the Jazz. They know, Jazz fans know, that this guy is going to be a part of the franchise for the next 5 years moving on.
Well, they know he's going to be part of the franchise for the next calendar year because when he signed, he can't be traded now. So I know Golden State fans are probably a little bummed out because that was one of their key targets. So, I'm curious to see what they do in Utah because, sure, you signed your young star. There's not a lot of great talent around them. There's some young players with, you know, some pretty high upside. What's the goal this year, right? They still have, help me out, the guy from Atlanta. The power forward, super springy.
John Collins.
So John Collins is on your roster. You're paying him good money. He's good, not great. What is the goal? You know, are we going to start making moves in free agency? Is Utah really going to start looking to trade some of this young talent and bring in some more guys to actually try to win? Are we still stockpiling draft picks? What is the goal? And, this is Danny Ainge. Kind of the same, you know, he did this kind of in Boston for a while. He stockpiled all his assets and didn't do anything with them. So let's see what the next move is going to be for Utah.
Yeah, that's pretty fascinating. That's a good point, right? It was during the, it was around that time he moved Rondo to Dallas, right? This kind of when you just question, okay, what direction is Boston heading in?
Yes, and that's where we are, right? What's Utah going to do? They don't look like they're prepped to win a lot of games, right? So what happens next?
Yeah. What's the next storyline for you in the NBA, James? Is there anything poking out for you that will be answered between now and we'll say, I don't know, the next 3-4 weeks when things really start ramping up? I mean, we're not that far off from preseason.
Honestly, we didn't we kind of touched on it. But, like, again, Jason Tatum, biggest contract in NBA history, just won a championship. the one guy in the Olympic team that was all NBA, first team, and he got benched twice. Like, yeah, that along with the Jaylen Brown snub, alleged snub, and the way that, you know, Porzingis has begun to, you know, the injury, the way his season ended, I really think that Boston has a different level of motivation to repeat this year. So I'm really curious to see how that goes. Really curious to see the Knicks, the new-look Knicks, and the new-look Philadelphia 76ers. Like, those teams have legit, you know, I'm really happy with what Boston has done, but I got to look in the rearview mirror for two, you know, teams in the East that are going to be really tough. And then, also, what are they going to do with Jimmy Butler in Miami? That's my thing, too. As someone who hates Miami, I'm curious to see how they handle his extension request and the fact that he hasn't gotten one yet, and what's Miami going to do with all these other teams like coming up behind them and really making moves, and they've kind of stood pat. So,
and the way that Jimmy Butler has kind of handled that within the media, right? Because one of the things that I can appreciate so much about Miami, it's Coach Eric Spoelstra, and it's also the way that Pat Riley handles things up in the front office. They don't typically deal with this type of chatter and this type of negative PR. They don't typically deal with it very often. You don't see it too often, right? And so I agree with you. I think this is probably the most intriguing storyline left in the NBA. What happens with Jimmy Butler in Miami?
Something's got to give. They lost a couple key guys. You know, they lost Caleb Martin, who was a really big piece for them, for nothing. And they're not going to be better than they were this year. Like, and they weren't very good this year. They struggled. So very interested to see, and I hope to watch the Miami Heat burn down.
He is James Holas, always got enough to take out the time to join us. James, been great to talk about Team USA throughout the summer. Gave us some sort of basketball angle here on the show, and as always, you provide top-notch analysis. I always appreciate the time, and I look forward to continuing the conversations.
I'm just ready for the season to start, man. I'm ready for it to get on. This next season would be great. Thanks for having me on.
Make sure you follow James on Twitter, at SnottyDrippin. Yeah, one of the best Twitter handles around. Always got enough to take out the time to join us to talk some hoops. We've got to pause for just a moment. More Drive Time Sports coming up when we return. We are live from the Sutherland Studios, and it's here on 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM.